Good morning, and welcome to How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything. Good afternoon, Chris.
Good morning, Bob. Thank you. And I'm on the tail end of a cold here. I'm mostly fully recovered, but my voice perhaps not so much, so I hope that's not a distraction.
Oh, you sound great to me. Hopefully I'll
continue
that.
Okay, good. That's reassuring. Thank you. All right, yeah.
And so just to let folks know, Sherry and Ashwini are on their way to Cantaloma right now with the rest of the Africa team, which is very exciting. So we're going to be here in their stead. So our assignments from the week, and actually we got three assignments. You're going away for a long time alone. What do you want to have with you? And then Saturday, are there any surprises about what you forgot to list or the order in which you thought of things? And then Sunday, what could you not live without? Write or draw your answer.
An interesting set.
Yes, yes. Lots to look at, certainly, all this stuff. All right, so here's our first caller.
Okay, great.
So unmuted. You are now live on the air, and will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Chris calling from Florida.
Hello, Chris.
Hi. These were really interesting questions, but I kind of had a question about, I guess I got to a point that was just a big question mark. So the process that I went through was seeing first all the things that I would definitely, quote unquote, need to survive wherever I was going.
Uh-huh.
So,
those survival needs met to start, right? So that would be things like a comfortable place to sleep, things to cook with, know that you've got food, shelter, kind of the basics in that direction.
Yeah, well, also that, and interestingly, ego put on a very spiritual outfit suddenly, and it was... what we really need is, all your spiritual books and recording and listening.
Uh-huh.
And, we don't need any of that other stuff that, I otherwise torture you with.
Any of that other content in life, any of that other stuff, right? Gotcha.
Exactly. So, it was just like, suddenly coffee is not something that I would think about. That's kind of what you go
through. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because that would leave you open to complete torture once you got there, yeah.
Right. But the part where I got to a kind of a question point was I was listening to the last call, the final call, a lot this weekend with the two, Sherry was talking about these two ego players that kind of come up around addictive behavior.
Yes.
And they try to make it seem like there's something there that isn't there.
Yeah. And so in relation to the coffee, Chris, is that coming up in relation to that, or?
Yeah, I guess I got caught on that phrasing, what could you not live without? And that word, like the not living, because I really don't feel like I actually am living when I'm caught in those addictive behaviors.
Yeah. And so the place you got caught is in the question, so what could you not live without? And then in considering something that you're addicted to, like the coffee, for example, then that feels like, well, actually, I'm in that instance when I am experiencing that addiction, that's actually not living. And so if you were to bring that onto wherever this place is we're going, then, yeah, it certainly seems like, well, it wasn't living there, right? And perhaps it wouldn't be here? Is that part of the question?
Yeah, yes, well, it seems like you were saying in the beginning, it's so focused on survival on the one hand, and yet when I'm caught up in these behaviors, for example, we all know this, like scrolling through the internet or something, I kind of become a zombie when that happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so for me, that question, what could you not live without, is interesting just to be able to see You know, it's like any question. You got to kind of start to look back at the question and go, so who's the you that's being referred to there?
Mm-hmm.
That's part of what you're pointing at, right? So is it conditioning that won't survive, or is it the heart that won't survive?
Oh, and that is so important to remember. I mean, that's the thing you got to hold on to, it seems, when you're caught in those behaviors.
Yeah, because, and exactly so, right, because that's what conditioning does, is survive. Like you say, it dresses itself up in that little cute outfit as soon as you're going away alone and says, take me, you know, make sure you take me, and meaning all kinds of ways to distract you, perhaps, right? And then the heart doesn't really need to survive in that same way.
Mm.
That, you know, we're still going to a place where there's life. And if my experience is here is that I'm supported by life, well, how about there? Is that going to be true there? And, you know, if so, how can I make that support real? What can I bring along to make that support real in that place?
Wow, yeah, that is so, I think I just connected some dots that had been really unconnected before, because when I'm caught in a behavior like that, I've been paying more attention lately and have noticed that my heart starts racing, like when I'm trying to resist it or something, and it does feel like I'm in this place where it's all about survival now, I gotta get it or else.
Exactly. Yeah, and so then part of the question, all three of these questions, right? So you're going to go away for a while, and you're going to be alone, and then, you know, what do you want to have with you? And so we can start to look at those things and go, huh, well, perhaps not that, right? And again, you know, we don't want to get caught in the content, because there's nothing wrong with showing up in whatever location we decide we're going to, right, with some coffee or, you know, with, I don't know if an internet connection would work. If you're actually going to go away and be alone, then perhaps that's out of bounds. You know, I think it's, for each of us, it's a question of how we want to frame the question. It's interesting how the questions get framed to start with, right?
Yeah.
Because conditioning is going to try and frame them in a way that all you'll see is conditioning, right? And then as soon as we start to frame them from the perspective of the heart, we can feel the as usual, right? The possibilities begin to open, the energy begin to flow a little smoother.
Yes, I'm definitely going to have to re-listen to this one a couple times, but just remembering that everything is provided for in the moment seems to be the takeaway for me.
Yeah, excellent. You know, and with that, one thing I look a lot at is the word sufficiency, and it comes up for me in these kinds of locations, and the breath is such a great example. So, you know, because sufficiency, conditioning, sufficiency gets such a bad rap, right? Conditioning says, equates it to mediocrity. And says, I don't need it. You know, we gotta go over the top with everything that we do. The breath is such a marvelous example of sufficiency in that, in every instance, the need is being just so perfectly met by the incoming breath, and there's that satisfaction that's in those two together, right? If you breathe more air than you need, it's not actually helpful, right? You'll get dizzy if it's less than, and you know that has the consequences too. And so there's that notion of sufficiency. And so, you know, if I'm going to go away for a while and be alone, you know what role does sufficiency play in that? And in that same way of being supported by life that we were just looking at.
Yeah, that sense of enoughness.
A sense of enoughness, exactly. Yep. Because with that conditioning, there's that sense of enoughness, and then conditioning is going to want to add in something additional that will make it more complex, that will somehow bring the attention back to it in a way, rather than just just living in that that sense of enoughness. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for that.
It's big, isn't it? Yeah. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
And Bob, you still there?
Oops.
I was double muted there. You're talking away.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Chris. And this for this, Chris, I love the conversation because once you started both talking about, you know, whether we're looking to conditioning of the heart, it really, you know, helps us direct attention away from, as you were saying, the content and then onto the process.
Yeah.
And really looking, you know, so then when the question of sufficiency comes up, that raises them. Is it sufficient, you know, in this moment, or are we looking to some idea of sufficiency from conditioning?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What does conditioning need to have us bring along so that it's well reflected?
Right.
And yeah. My time there with this beautiful human being will be compromised by by distraction in some way. Easy ways to be distracted. Yeah.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely is. Alrighty. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air, and will you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Chris. Hey, Bob. This is Eleanor in Georgia. Hi.
Hi, Eleanor.
Hi, Chris. First, I want to recognize it's been a long time since I got in the queue. After a year of being in the queue as often as possible, I've been through this few weeks here where the story is that I just didn't have time, and I'm just recognizing that and thankful to be back.
Yeah.
So,
happens to all of us, doesn't it?
Something
that we do regularly for practice, and then a couple months go by, or 3 or 4 weeks, we go, you know, I used to do that all the time.
I've been listening, but I haven't been able to be live is the difference, and it's a big difference being in the queue and not being in the queue. So,
you're going to want to have being in the queue with you on this island.
Definitely. That's what I was thinking, was how many recorders I could take and batteries. So this fit in really well with what's been going on in the content of my life. Like, I was unpacking one suitcase right into the other size suitcase a couple of days ago. And so I go back and forth between, so there's the urgency that being in the story with ego brings on of you're going to forget something. Or then when I got there, this most recent trip, I left something at a big hotel. And and it was urgency when I got home. So I got to kind of see how the story gets me and just kind of takes me away. From life, right?
Well, exactly so. In just the way that you said, as soon as that voice comes in that says, well, what if you forget something, then what happens?
Yes. So I got to look at that on a recent trip, and I'd fixed myself this really special lunch. So I found in my list that food and comfort, moisturizers, and all the things to take care of me personally were important. And on this particular trip, it was a long day of travel, and I'd fixed a special lunch, which I left at home, and I just got to watch it. And, you know, once I let go of it, it was like there was nothing I could do about it, and I was able to come back to the other big word I'm looking at is adequacy. It's like, oh, I'm okay. I'm okay without that. And that was a great reminder life brought to me.
I had this image as you were there. You are making that lunch, and the whole time, maybe not the whole time, but part of the time, there's a conversation about how great it's going to be to have this lunch, and you know, it's a special lunch, and like that.
And how much I'll need that lunch.
And how much you'll need that lunch. And what a good person you are for not forgetting to make such a big list, right? All of that stuff. And then, you know, that conversation sets up an expectation that if something goes awry, which, of course, sooner or later in life it will, that we'll be in that place of just what conditioning said was going to happen. You'll be someplace without the things that you need to, and actually we have to say, we'll be in a place that conditioning won't have what it needs to survive in some way, and then it can blame the human for that.
And there, and that's the key there, is this morning us what dropped in was, under the urgency is the blame and the, you know, the beating that it was my fault. I should never have, you know, that was, shouldn't have forgotten it. So that's good to see.
Yeah. You know, and yeah. It's interesting in a story like this. So, you know, we're just making this whole thing up. So, you know, where we're going isn't really specified. I mean, there's a couple of hints here, right? There's a little drawing of a, look, right? It looks like an island with a couple of palm trees on it, right? With little waves lapping on it. So we can kind of make assumptions from that, but it's like automatically it's life and death for conditioning, right? What if you forget something? I mean, we're just making this whole thing up. And, you know, because we can answer with, well, just like you did with the lunch, I'll do something else, that there's adequacy abounds in every direction. I'll send up a flare and they'll shoot me a bunch of lunches for, right? And
yeah,
we can just make up the answer that we want, rather than having to live with the answer that's been made up for us by this hateful entity that's hanging out in our hearts.
Right, and all of that just leads to more practice of adequacy. For me, I've been looking at that word, and actually I remember sometime during this year where Jen was talking about adequacy, and so the line that comes to me now all the time is, oh, remember to pack your adequacy.
Oh, that's
and then,
great.
And yeah. And nothing else yeah. matters. Everything's fine, you know, so that's
yeah.
kind of my reminder now that's
yeah.
true. It's just so true.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. So it really does come down to, so you're going away for a while and you're going to be alone. Then you could say, well, here's the life processes that I want to be in while I'm there with myself.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be in a life process of adequacy. And then we can all make our own lists, right? You know, joy, love, gratitude. These are the processes I want to be in. And then start to make our choices of what we want to bring along based on what would assist us to be in those processes, what would remind us of them. So there, bring along that recorder, perhaps the meditation cushion,
mm-hmm.
right? And
that's
those things
it.
That
yeah.
would support us in those really critical directions, yeah.
Yeah, that makes me want to look at ways to have more reminders. I mean, maybe even some notes in my suitcases or something. So I pull them out and it says,
uh-huh.
oh, pack your here's your adequacy, or pack... Or some kind of, that would be kind of fun to look at. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes. Yeah, so
very
that's
fun.
Great. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so
yeah,
much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Eleanor. I love that line, remember to pack your adequacy.
Yeah.
And I was thinking as she said it, it's like, well, that'd be a good thing just to remember every day, not just when I'm going away.
Yeah, to have some real set concrete way of reminding oneself that, yeah, pack it up. Always knowing where it is, no matter where we are.
Yeah, because I know for me, right when I ask that question, immediately I'm taken out of maybe attending to some conversation to what's actually happening right
mm-hmm.
now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, calls attention to all of that stuff that's going on in the head, which is leading away from adequacy, as we all know, right, that conversation, and to, it's like, where'd I put my car keys now? I think they're in my pocket, right, there's my adequacy. Okay, got it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's great. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Can you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Pasha.
Hey, Pasha.
Of the speakerphone. Can you hear me well now?
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear.
Yay. So, what was a powerful questions. And I went exactly where the first caller was describing, as conditioning goes into panic. Oh, how am I going to survive without my addictions? And what dropped in from life is just going with life. I want to pack the whole life with me. I want to pack this universe and everything and everybody to go with me wherever I go. And at the same time, wherever I'm going, those things will be there. So I don't need actually to pack anything, because life provides whatever is necessary for the next step. And then I went back to conditioning mind and got criticized, well, how silly was that?
Exactly. Oh, never at a loss for words, no matter what's going on. So, Well, Pasha, I really appreciate the way you laid that out and how life provides, like we talk about, and it doesn't matter what the circumstances are. And so just because we're going to be, I mean, you know, that word alone for conditioning is oftentimes, like you're saying, pretty frightening, right? Because, well, gosh, you know, that's not good. You know, what do I need to bring along to keep me from falling into an intimate relationship with, you know, to keep the human from falling into an intimate relationship with compassion, right? How can I, in a reduced scenario, how can I still have enough stuff to keep the attention of that human in the same way that I'm used to here, right?
Yeah.
And when we really get it, it's like, well, gosh, you know, like you say, life is supporting us in every way possible in every moment. And as we see that, we get it that it's not going to be any different no matter where we go, right? Mm-hmm. That we'll still be supported perfectly in those places, wherever it is, whatever the content is. The next step will always be provided, and we can't lose.
Yes. And I was actually this weekend, and a bit of end of last week, we had a lot of kind of family time, kind of mini vacation, mini Thanksgiving vacation, and that's what I was trying to talk to a child when he wanted, can I play the video games? Can I watch TV? Can I do this? And we already done a lot of all these things in that mini vacation. And we came to the point, no, like, we can't watch more TV. I mean, there was plenty enough. We can't play more video games. No. And then the child is getting upset as if we are taking things away from him. But then he went on his own, just in a room, and starts doing something by himself. And then, like, some time passed by, we go there in the room, and he shows us on an easel a beautiful poem he wrote. And it just made me and the wife to cry.
What did he write, Pasha? I missed that last word.
He wrote a poem.
A poem, okay, got it.
Yeah, and he made a song out of it, and that's what he does when he's left alone with himself, when there's no video games and so on. So we saw that on the example of, that place, as you were talking, when we're left by ourselves, is actually opens up and reveals and that richness of life that the child at 8 write the poems that makes adults cry, and I can't recite the poem. I mean, it's quite a thing, but that was very touching, and that's the way I was failing to explain him what is it we are getting in touch with? As I don't have a language that, you know, that the child, I think, would understand, but that was example was actually, he was showing us that place we have and we are in touch with when we are stop going to our addictions and distractions and conditional thoughts. So anyway, that's that was kind of clear illustration for me from the child while I was trying to explain him that thing.
But he had actually had an experience of it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, which is the most powerful way to teach in any situation, really, right? That's how we learn, is through an experience like that. So
Yes. So thank you so much, and thank you for that support and that of that experience. And Sangha was on the list of things I would like to take with me.
Bring this Sangha along, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, and as you first started us off, I think you were hinting at or pointing at that this idea of no separation.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's true, then, you know, I think just like you were talking about, we can't really go anywhere without all of that, all of life coming along with us.
Yes. I cannot be separated except if I go with conditioned mind, because life never separates me.
Exactly.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
And then that's just an illusion, basically, right? That it's just a mirage that's true, that we're separate. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
We're capable of deeply believing it, but it still doesn't make it any more real. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Excellent.
Well, gassho.
Gassho.
All right, Chris, we have a few more minutes. I'm trying to get in one more caller.
Okay, great.
All right. Here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
This is Laura from Berkeley.
Hey, Laura.
Hello.
What are you seeing?
What I was looking at, it's been really interesting. I had some content come up last night, and so it was interesting looking at the what can't you live without? Because it was around dating and realizing that the person that I've been dating, that, you know, that it may kind of not be a match or that kind of thing, like, and this feeling that that's really bad. And but was sort of what came up as I was drawing was like, okay, well, back then, this was the guy I couldn't live without, and then there was this guy I couldn't live without, and then there was this guy I couldn't live without.
Uh-huh.
Like,
uh-huh.
After
a while, you catch the pattern, huh?
Right. But, and it feels like this, and I feel like part of what I'm trying to do is sort of sort out what's authentic here, you know? Like, I think that there is an authentic, you know, enjoying being with somebody and enjoying being, you know, having someone to date, and then the thought of that not being there, you know, that brings up emotion. But it's like, then there's also this whole, like, I was just seeing how, because I kind of have a story that kind of conditioning gets me with is like there's no one out there for you, and like the way that you are, like that's, you know, no one's going to kind of want to be with you the way that you are. And it was just sort of looking at like, okay, without that story, like what would my actual experience of this be?
Yeah.
Cause that's what takes, you know, that's what feels so horrible.
The self-hate that comes out of it, the self-hate that's involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the fear. It's like a fear story too.
Because you can really see the setup in it, right? And so there is all of that self-hate that no one's going to want to be with someone like you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There's that piece of it. And then when there is someone that comes along and shows some interest, right, then conditioning is really quick to attach to that person in the same way that you talked about, right? That we'll get it. That person becomes the latest iteration, content iteration in the I can't live without this. You know, here's finally the proof that perhaps, you know, there may be someone there who appreciates me in some way, right? And
mm-hmm.
then conditioning will do its darndest to set it up so that we fail at that, only to end up in that place of proving that, you know, what it was saying in the beginning, that, you know, there we go, see? It happened again, and no one's going to want to be with you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this one, it feels like the content is that, like, he wants to have kids, and I don't think that I do. And and part of what I'm seeing is that I'm kind of struggling to accept that for myself, you know, like that's an okay way to be. And
it's okay for him to have that sense, basically.
Well, no. It's not okay for me to not want kids. Like I should want kids. That's the right person to be.
Okay, got it.
You know,
kind of cash yourself in favor of wherever he's going.
Right, or you know, where the right people want kids, and if you're the wrong person, then no one's going to want to be with you, and you know,
because what drops in for me? Was there more, Laura? Did you want to?
No, go ahead.
There's something else. One thing was, so, you know, that, I don't know how deeply you've talked about it either, but the not wanting to have kids, wanting to have kids, can be like the opening to a much longer conversation or a deeper conversation about what that really means for a person. Because is that just what presents based on some... You know, what's going on with conditioning behind the scenes? Is there something that's being, you know, locked up in there? Not necessarily to change anyone's mind, but to begin to see, especially for one's own self, you know. So for you, where does that come from, not wanting to have kids? Is there, you know, people go through all kinds of reasons by that. But to really get to the place of, is that something that is my experience, or is that something that, you know, conditioning telling stories over the course of however long, you know, I won't be a good parent, you know, if I can't find a mate that likes me, you know, my kids certainly won't. And so I just don't want to be a parent. I mean, that's just one example, but to really start to look to see, well, what is behind that? What's kind of the next layer down? And for both people. And then just see where that goes. And then it may reach a point, well, okay, you know, we really see that this is not going to work out, or there might be some ways to proceed along different paths, too.
Yeah, because it does feel like sort of a little bit of like a knee-jerk, like, okay, you're on the other side, I'm on this side, forget it.
Exactly,
you know?
I'm out of here. This is just one more reason why it's not going to work. So,
yeah,
and then conditioning just has us with that, right? I mean, wow, again, another iteration in that whole process. Every time we go through it, then... You know, it's a little deeper groove.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you. Grateful to get to process that a little bit.
All right, good. Yeah, always helpful. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, Laura. And Chris, this brings us to the end of the show today. And our assignment for today is... Consider the many kinds of goodbyes in our lives. Finish these sentences. Saying goodbye is. Saying goodbye is. Saying goodbye is. Saying goodbye is. R.L.
Now, there's at least four of those different types in those sentences. So there we go.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
Very good.
See everyone tomorrow.
All right. Take care.
All right. Go happy.